Hallelujah. Blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, once again this morning for the time that we have, Lord, come together in this manner, Father, as we see the day fast approaching. We need, Lord, truly to get ourselves often, Father, and be watchful and prayerful, Father, concerning these days. We know, Lord, it's been a long time. Your people Israel have been looking for their Messiah to come. We know, Father, you have not forsaken them. But in your grace and mercy, Lord, you have blended down that we Gentiles might have this very same gift of eternal life extended to us, Lord. And having offered to us, Father, and that I have found a people gathered all from different parts of the world through all these last almost 2,000 years. And now, Lord, you have set the stage where your prophetic words, where your promise, Lord, that you will return to the very one that you have put aside. That you might bring the gospel back to them once again, Lord. And they open their eyes that they might see who the Lord Jesus Christ really is. That it is the very Messiah whom their forefathers have rejected. Even as you pray for Israel this morning as you approach thy word, Lord, bless them. Even as the Psalms, Lord, and many places of thy word, oh, how your people cry out to you. The Lord, you chase their enemy away. Chase all their enemies away, Lord, and bring your people back to your own fold. Father, they cry unto you. And even as much as we cry unto you today, that you watch over us, Lord, and keep us in the way. May every heart this morning hear, Lord Jesus, be sincere, Lord, and be repentant, Father. Be in the spirit, Lord, of watchfulness and supplication in this hour now as we just want to get close to you, Father. Even why has the world continuing its business? We pray, Father, Lord, your people here this morning and those all around the world that are called by thy name. You continue, Lord Jesus, to bring them to the place of perfection in thy word. We hasten thy coming, Lord Jesus. And truly, Lord, we cry out, Maranatha. Even so come, Lord Jesus. Bless thou, Lord, as you approach thy word. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we left up last week about the creation of the angels. And remember here we have in the Bible two very specific verses of scripture that are read in the beginning. And that is the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. And also in John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now we know that in the beginning when the Word of God came forth to create, then was truly time begin. Before the Word of God steps out to bring forth creation, time never did exist. And that's why God said, I am that I am, I am. There cannot be any I was, because time never exists then. You know, And you cannot, he cannot say, I will be, because time never exists then. So he, that's why when he says, Moses said to ask him, you know, when Moses was called by him to lead the people of Israel, he says, what is your name? What shall I tell them who sent me? And Yahweh said, just tell them, I am that I am sent you. I am sent you. You know, because eternity, there's no time, so it cannot have a past, never a future. There's just no time. And even so, God always call himself I am and identify himself with that two words, I am. But when the Logos came out to create and bring forth all the revelation of God, now the word Logos with the revelation of God, God has two sides. One side of God is He's invisible. He chose to remain invisible and dwells in light. Now we have this, when God created man, He says, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. Now, there are two sides to that. One is the image, the other is the likeness. You all, every one of us have the image of God, which is the invisible side, or the spiritual side of it. The attributes of God, the very nature of God that He gave to Adam when Adam was created, which is a spirit being with all that attributes, so intelligence, passions, emotions, and all the things that belongs to God. Then the likeness is the physical side, the side that can be seen or visible side. So one side is that the visible, invisible side. And that is always we call the front side. Alright. We put it that way because the Greek approach of the philosopher of ancient Greece or the people of the Grecian, when they explain something, they like to philosophize things with certain kind of metaphor and so on to describe. So when you talk about the Logos, to them, Logos is the revelation or the self-revelation of God, or that part which is called the hindsight. Now Moses wanted to see God, and God said, no, you will not see me. Like, nobody can see me and live. That is the front side. So God said, now I step on a rock and I'll clap you there as I pass by, you can see me. And Moses saw the back of God. So that is the part which is turned to the world. And so the part which is turned to the world is the Logos. It's the Word that is turned to the world. The Spirit of God still not seen by anyone at all. Do you understand? It's just like a man, a Catholic goes to a confession box. The priest is inside there. He doesn't see the priest because the curtain is drawn. You only hear the voice of the priest. You understand that you never see the priest. You see? So, that is supposed to be a mystery in the Catholicism. You understand? He represents God. He who has the right to forgive your sin. Whatever you have committed, then He mete out the judgment. You see? So, in the same way that God shrunk Himself, or God unmurfed it, God put on flesh something visible to reveal Himself. And that is what the Logos is. He steps out of the invisible to create. And I said that the very first thing, or one of the very first things, I don't know what came out of it, I guess it would be probably light and whatever, before God actually would create the angels. And the angel then was one of those, the very earliest creation before anything else. God created His angels to be ministering spirit, to be His servant. Those are, that will help Him minister whatever He wanted to do. And so the angel came forth to be the very first creation that we will say living creatures. Alright? Light are not living creatures or living things. Alright? So we look at the book of Job chapter 38 verse 4 to 7. While we left off last week on that little place, Job 38. Verse 4 to 7. Why was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou have understanding. Who have laid the measure thereof? If thou knowest, or who have stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundation thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sung together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now, as I said last week before we close up last week, that The morning stars, or the sons of God, rather we say the sons of God, God was asking Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of God? Now, because the way that God asked this question, Christian believed that, of course, the sons of God could not refer to anybody else but the angels. You know? Because the heaven exists. Sons of God and daughters of heaven are not exist. So, they could not explain this. But you know what? It took a man like Brother Branham, whom God sent with a message, and he just said that the sons of God refers to the elect. Those who are in the minds of God. And he just made a simple statement such as that. And of course, if we cannot catch revelation, sometimes people don't understand. You know, denomination who doesn't see the message, accept the message, you say, oh, he's talking nonsense. You know, when I first read the statement, I caught the revelation to realize that all the other verses of scripture will fall into place. Those things that, you know, God considered those things that were not as though they were. And in the minds of God, everything that he counseled and said and began to do, all those things were already there as he sees it, as clearly as it exists. Do you understand that? Now, let me give you an example. We talk about a revelation. You know, before I was married, and the Lord showed me when I would get married, around what age. And then he showed me that I would have a son and a daughter. You know what? In my mind, when I received what the Lord told me, I could just look at the setting, what I could see, my son and my daughter. You know, running around, playing with them. You know, if you can just have that kind of vision, you may be able to understand why God, in all his counseling, even before he set up and to create, he looked into the future, he can see everything. You believe that? After all, he's God. And he considered those things that will not yet appear as though they were. Do you see that? God considered everything done. And you know what? God cannot retract. Once he considered and he said, thus said the Lord, all this will be, he cannot retract them. That's why Jesus Christ, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane praying in agony, I said, Lord, Father, let this cup pass by if it is possible. How could it be possible? If you think about it. Jesus was the Son of God. He was in the flesh. And of course, everybody wanted to escape all this damn stuff, the pain stuff. He prayed. But the Father had already declared before he came upon this earth that he must go to Calvary. Do you see that? And every word that he had uttered, the spoken word is the original seed. Everything that was back then when he brought it out. And everything must be. He cannot leave any part of his word unfulfilled. He must. And you know, many of us who have been in this message or maybe Christian now, we waited for Jesus Christ's return. We waited for Jesus Christ's return, right? Isn't it? You know, back in the 70s, oh, I said, yeah, this is a message that's going to bring, you know, us into the Word of God and get us up perfected. 70, 80s into it, looking at the coming of the Lord, you know, see the conditions of the world, not yet time. We're going to the 90s, looks like, well, not yet time still. Now we enter into the 2000s. This is the 21st century now. How could it not be? If the Lord do not return to set up his kingdom by, say, around 2017 or 2018, you know what? The generation will be a new generation entering in. Because all those that were born in 48 would have been old men, but we have been passing into the 75th years of their life. First 25, second 25, and then they're not 25 now. That's old. 75, you're old men. You know? You understand that? So we are looking at this hour right now, with all that which is happening in Israel, in the Middle East, we're just hoping, pray to Lord, let all that which you have mentioned in your word concerning this final war, concerning all the enemies of Israel coming against her, let it be fulfilled. And you know, we have to be watchful. So when we look into the scripture right now about this question, what were you, Job, when I laid the foundation? You know, Job was right there in the mind of God. Of course, we don't remember those things, but to God, we were there. Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? Even as Paul says about the Levite, who was in the loin of Abraham. Right? He paid tithes. They paid tithes too. You see. So we all trace back to the seed word that steps out of God, or the Logos, the seed word that stepped out of God to create. And so the angels then, who are these morning stars that sung together? Who are these morning stars mentioned here? The morning star then refers to the angels. The sons of God refer to those who are God's elect, those who are part of the Logos, those who are sons of God, those who are born again, those who make up His family. They are sons and daughters of God. And the stars are the angels. And we all know the Bible talks about stars. You know, in the book of Revelation, there are seven stars, which means messengers. Stars refers to the angels. Sons of God refers to those who have a relationship between father and son relationship. Alright? So now, there are other verses of scripture which, of course, we can bring out. Let's go to the book of Job, chapter 1. And I've explained this a couple of times before. Job, chapter 1. Verse 6, and there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And here is also in chapter 2, verse 1, the same thing again, same verse sort of appear here again another time. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And I always been back when I was a Christian in denomination, in all the articles and books that I've read, every time I read it, every theologian and preacher says, these were the days when angels present themselves before God in heaven. You know? I never buy that, but I was just kind of confused. I now buy that. Until, as I said, when Brother Ben mentioned, it's the sons of God referred to the believers, the elect. Then, it caught me a revelation. Then I realized, this wasn't in heaven. It wasn't a time when God was sitting on a throne in heaven and all the angels came before Him, which of course they refer to sons of God as angels. Now, as I said, this over in 38 of Job, when God asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? When the stars sung together and the sons of God shouted for Job. If the sons of God refer to the angels, then who are the stars? Huh? Now you cannot say that the stars in heaven as literally stars in heaven singing. Eh? You understand that? So because they say that the sons of God over in Job 38 refers to the angels, so here in chapter 1 and chapter 2, the same thing, sons of God refers to angels. Then I wonder, how could a God sit in heaven on His throne? All the angels came and gathered before the Lord. And then here came Satan into heaven. You know what? It couldn't be, isn't it? And you know what? All the angels were tested on this earth. Heaven is not a place for testing or for sins to enter in. Got it? Earth is God's footstool. All the testing of angels were done upon this earth, never in heaven. But I saw Satan as lightning fell from heaven. But the expression is, to many theologians, is that it was cast out of heaven. the third heaven, but where God's throne is. No. The heavens is this heaven. He was cast down, he was stripped of his power. The Bible is Oriental, Hebrewic, not Caucasian, not Western expression. And West, they can say, hey, John, it's a jungle out there. Don't get out and get killed. They'll tell you about being a jungle out there in New York or in Chicago. Huh? You know the expression. But the Jew will not know what I'm not talking about. So when the Jewish expression comes in here, they try to use an English expression or Western expression to try to interpret. You cannot do that. See? So these sons of Yahweh were not the angels. But, as it says in chapter 2 and chapter 1, again there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Here we are all here. As I said this, we are all here gathered before the Lord. We present ourselves before the Lord. There was a day. Last month, there was a day we all came and presented ourselves before God. Is that not right? In fact, every Sunday, all the sons and daughters of God gather themselves together and present themselves before the Lord. Is that not right? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us come before the Lord, worship the Lord. I enter His gate with thanksgiving. Huh? I enter His court with praise. Let us present our Lord. Isn't it? Not with any ox and bullocks or whatever it is, but with praises. Get ourselves before the Lord. And again, as we present ourselves before the Lord, judgment begins in the house of God. And this is what happened. It was a day in the days of Job. Huh? That all those who are true worshippers of God gather themselves together and present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came in. Of course, I said this before, devils goes to church. Sister Nancy can tell you that. Huh? He'll hit you right. And that's how Satan comes right in here. And here we all present ourselves before the Almighty God. Satan came right in. And he started to accuse Job. Right? He can hit you right on someone and get the person very upset and make an accusation. Or this brother, or that sister, and so on and so forth. That's what the devil would do. And he came right in to this assembly and began to accuse Job. There is someone always that will accuse somebody else. And this is what it's always been. And the church of God, or the family of God, we all make up differently. Some are fast learner, some are slow learner. Because you are raised up from different background, and the devil can meet you with anybody else to attack somebody else. And that's what happened here. So we realized then that the stars refers to angels, but the sons of God refers to those who are God's people. God's children, so to speak. His sons and daughters. You understand that? Alright? So now we look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Through faith we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So everything comes out of God. It was framed by the word of God. Hard to realize this thing. Nothing comes from nothing. Well, that's a fact. Nothing comes from nothing. But God is being the source. So the angel were created out of that source. Alright? So then we have now the beginning of the angels. They were ministering spirit. God created them first for a purpose. And after the creation of the angels, of course, the creations of the heaven and the earth, Now, when you talk about the creations of the heaven and the earth, science will tell you this earth is so many millions of years. 60 trillion years, 60 years, a million years, and all that stuff. But don't listen too much to science. They will always guess. True science will back up scripture, but nobody can be perfect as to how many years this earth has been around. And there are even Christians today that they say that this earth is only 6,000 years old, which is not true. There are many today that believe that this earth is only 6,000 years ago. And it exists exactly according to Genesis creation where Adam was put on this earth. But then what happened to the angels? Where were they tested? What happened to those dinosaurs and those big creatures? But they say they were all dead in the days of Adam. You know. And they continue to believe that. And I have a friend who argued with me. He believed that. One time he believed that everybody that was born, everyone that was that are born on this earth, every one of us, every being, criminal, murderer, whatever they are, will all be reconciled back to God. No souls will go to hell and be burned and destroyed. Everyone will return back to God. And that is a doctrine called universalism. And use some of the word reconciliation. Reconcile us back to God. Remember what Paul says? Some of this verse, just simply used it. You see. And so when you believe that the earth was 6,000 years old, and believe that the dinosaur was there, and I ask simple questions, and why wasn't the dinosaur on this earth today after the flood? He said, oh, because they were all killed and destroyed, because after the flood, there were not enough vegetation for them. So they all died out. Kind of strange, isn't it? Because he said, those dinosaurs were big. I said, what about the small dinosaur? And what about the big fella like the elephant we have today? Rhinoceros. Huh? The hippo. They're huge, isn't it? They're bigger than some of those smaller creatures. And how come those smaller creatures are extinct, but those bigger ones are still around? And well, they will argue this and argue that. That's kind of strange. We have giraffe today. Still around. We have gorillas today. Big fella. Still around. And even I show him, I said, okay, all these creatures, let's say they are seen that they died off. What about the trilobite? What about those sea creatures? What about those animals? We call that sea animals, though, you know. They do not breathe with nostril. You know, your shell, your clam, your abalone, your crab, your scallop, they're all in the bottom of the sea. Your shrimps, what? Fish, alive, still alive today, many different kinds of fishes, shrimps, crab. But there are certain kind of creature in the sea. One of them is called a trilobite. If you ever seen them, they are millions of years old. I have some of those fossils. They look like a little bug, like a cockroach thing, you know. I said, how did those bug die out? If this earth was only 6,000 years ago, and there was no ice age, then how did this creature die out? Those trilobites should be around sooner than it. But now, you see, they listen to too much science. And a paper a couple of weeks ago, they said they found a creature, some kind of mouse, in Indonesia or in perhaps, I think, Japan, one of the Japanese islands or something. It's supposed to be extinct. And the scientists say, oh, these are many millions years old creature. You know, the scientists, because they have the degree with a piece of my paper. I'm a scientist. So I can say anything I want. Anybody believe it. And that's what we call science falsely so-called. It does not back up what the scriptures say. True science, the Bible will back it up. And it will back up the scripture exactly what it says. Nothing else. You see. So when we look at the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth, we do not know the length of time that taken to create the heaven and the earth. We do not know. Nobody knows. The science can guess. So many millions, so many zillions, so many trillion, or tens of millions, or tens of thousands of years. We do not know. And carbon dating is not accurate. Don't believe it is. It isn't accurate. It's only our rafting. So now, of course, you listen to the scientists talk, the Bang Bang Theory and the Big Bang Theory, whether there is 3 bang, 4 bang, 5 bang, or 1 big bang, it doesn't matter. All we know is when God speaks, something forms. Now the thing is, interesting is that, could not God speak the word and just say, let that be heard? Never it came out exactly as he pictured. In one instant, everything comes out. Everything out there. You know what I mean? You know, you ever seen this with today's computer animation? I think the advertisement about the car, and the car comes out. Four into a box. You know, isn't that interesting? If God says, let there be a couple of everything chop, comes out like this, you know what I mean? Let there be earth, you know, and all the trees start growing, coming out and all animals. He could do that, he could, couldn't he? He could. But you know one thing about it? After all, God is not worried about time. And he wants to bring about something that in the process of time that we learn as human. And today, true science will verify it. The first thing that ever come out into creation are gases. You know where the gas come from? Of course it came from God. God started to create gas. If you want to create gas, he create gas. To start to roll around and form. He just have our own seed time, let it roll for millions and millions of years. After all, millions and millions of years to us is a long time. But in God, when he is living in eternity, what is time? Think about it now. Now, when you and I go into the new heaven and new earth. Are you going to talk about time? Now we all look at our watch. Okay, now half an hour is 12 o'clock. It's time to end the service and we go for lunch. And then after we go to the office, we're working in the morning. Look at our watch. Oh, tea time. We've got to work another half an hour before it's the lunch time. Oh, another half an hour before it's going home time. You know, we're always looking at time. But when you're going into eternity, heaven, new earth, I don't think that you're going to wear a watch. You know what I'm talking about? You won't worry about anything at all. Time is of no consequence to us. Do you see? Because of fallen nature, we are so much taken out with times. I believe in the day when Adam and Eve was created, time was not of consequence to them. They're nothing. And now it's this. Oh, I'm 1 year older now. Oh, I'm not 58 years old. Next year I'll be 59. And next year I'll be 60. Oh, man, I'm getting old. And sooner or later I'll be walking with 3 legs. And you'll be thinking about this, you know. Don't you think so? Because you know that you have a time span. Your life is going to come down, going down. First, you want a child, you're going up, you're healthy, strong, you all feel that you're a very healthy young man, right? Strong, active, and then when you grow past 40, 50, oh man, you get up in the morning, we click it back. So because we are all time people, do you understand that? So if God would have got the gas come together over time, let it roll and form, he could. And it begin to amass whatever is. And then, another explosion, maybe whatever it is, it forms into something solid. And it creates a heaven, a space. Well, then you bring about something solid, the earth. And so that's what we see. We do not know how long it takes, but it happened. And we are here today. And of all the whole heavens, now when we talk about the word heavens in the Bible, the Bible sometimes in our King James translation, it says heavens with an S. But in some other translation, they don't have an S. And you need to understand why all English use heavens. Because actually the expression in heavens means space. And there are three heavens that we know. The first heaven is this space. Where the birds fly. Where you walk and you breathe. The second heaven is when you get out of space. get out of this earth atmosphere into the space out there where there is no oxygen, where no air, nothing, vacuum up there. That is the second heaven. And the third heaven is where God is, where Paul talks about, I know man in some body, I don't know, whatever it is, you know, when entering the third heaven, that is where God is. But heaven is realm. Again, you must understand, it's a realm. If you take away all this air, breathable air out of this earth, disappear, then you have, between the second heaven and this first heaven, you just become one heaven, isn't it? So you must remember, it's only a realm. So the third heaven is a realm, it's a dimension. Only the spiritual can comprehend. And Paul says, you are sitting in heavenly places. And we are all sitting in heavenly places. We're not here in the physical. I hope you're not here in the physical. We're here to worship the Lord. I enter into His courts and, you know, with thanksgiving and so forth. We are here entering into the realm of God to sit at His feet and to learn of Him. So God wants to make us aware of this thing. So when the heaven was created, let us go to Psalms 104, 5 to 6. Now here, the psalmist said, and sing a song. In verse 5, he said, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be moved forever? Thou covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. Now, thou covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. Now, you see, the deep, whenever you read the Bible, the deep, deep, D-E-E-P, deep. If you go out there, flying, you know, maybe a small aircraft, and you look down and you see the ocean, you call that the deep. Huh? Or you take a scuba diving or go submarine, you go into the deep. So when you always talk about the deep, it's talking about a depth, and usually about water. You understand? Okay, go to Genesis chapter 1. And here we have verse 2. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Again, the word the deep. The deep always talks about water. So now we have in Psalms 104 and verse 5 and 6. Here he says that the Lord created this deep. He covered the earth with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountain. So what we have is that today, what we have today is different from what we have in the beginning when God created it. When God created the heavens and the earth, everything that God created, they are created good for a certain purpose. You don't think so? No, just like a man who wants to build a car or build a house, he will definitely make sure that he build it right, that the car can really run properly, a proper engine, a proper whole body work, or even a house, a proper roof, proper wall, not something after a while it collapses. So everything must be created proper and good. So the same thing when God created the heavens and the earth, He created it good. He created it to be inhabited. Now if you go to Isaiah 45, before we, and then we'll come back. Isaiah 45. And verse 18. Now, Isaiah 45 verse 18 says this. For thou said the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and make it, he hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. You know what is vain? Vain something means it's not right. He created it to be inhabited. So he created the earth in a proper way that it could put living creatures in it. So the earth was created proper, the foundation was all packed up, everything right. And there was this deep shrouding the earth. Now look at it. You have this deep of water. Okay? Shrouding it. Got it? All this thickness. This is what we have, the deep. A thickness, a layer of water. That shrouded it, the earth. What is this for? What do you think this water is there for? It is to filter out or absorb or trap the ultraviolet light that is very harmful to the body. Some of you may have, when you go to have your eye checked, and especially when those of us who are exposed to sunlight, and especially today when the earth ozone layer is getting thinner, and the ozone, the holes in the atmosphere, especially in the north, in the Arctic regions, it is getting bigger and bigger, huh? Because of all these CFCs and all these gases that goes out there and tear up this whole ozone layer. And when the ultraviolet comes and you look up your eyes, you know what over time what happens to your eye? You get this pterygium. You get this little growth that on your white of the eye that will grow inwards to your cornea. You know? So that's why now people are the optician say, or the ophthalmologist, optometrist says, oh, you better wear sunglasses, or wear ultraviolet UV light filters, and, you know, tinted lenses, and to cut out those rays. And now you have all this transitional lens that's very popular today. It has been the last time, but now it's coming back. And this layer of the deep, the purpose of the layer of the deep is to keep the whole earth in the greenhouse effect. Now, people ask me, Mr. Berger, how do you know all this stuff? We have been on this teaching back in the early 90s when we started to do a whole series. Alright? Even before in the late 80s, the Lord showed me about the condition of the earth, that the earth was not where it was supposed to be tilted. It was supposed to be straight. Never tilted. And that's what you see on this chart. I draw it perpendicular. You see this line that's perpendicular. You know? That's what the earth is supposed to be. Why? How do I believe why that it is perpendicular to the sun and not tilted at 23.5 degrees? Oh, the earth is supposed to be like that. And you and I know that a circle, how many degrees there in the circle? Huh? Come on. 360. And it must supposed to be precise. The earth supposed to go around the sun. 360 days. Perpendicular. How do I know it's perpendicular? The Bible says very clearly. It says, the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the second day. Now today in the earth, do you get early, evening and morning? Oh, and because in the equator we all get almost 12 hours light and almost 12 hours darkness, right? Try to go through the north. Try to go places like the Scandinavia, Finland. Huh? They have long summer and short winter, am I right? Or is it the south? Huh? Do you remember? Who knows what is what now? In the north, do they get long winter or long summer? Both. But certain time they have longer summer. Do you see the sun comes out and practically on the horizon you can see the sun like practically for 18 hours a day or 16 hours the whole day. And then of course certain time like I think in Alaska the whole particular all night or something. Or in the south, I think more in the south. I forgot my geography anyway. But you know that it's not yet that it's so because the earth is tilted, isn't it? And it's spinning. It's lopsided. And so the sun, if you were to look at, alright, let me just look at this chart right here. You look at this, you know. This represents the sun. And the earth is perpendicular. You've got 12 hours of light on one side, and 12 hours of darkness on the other side, throughout the whole earth. But once it is tilted, you find what? The north would have sun's complete the whole day. And the other side, only darkness. You see what I'm talking about? When the Bible says, in the morning, or in the evening and the morning were the first day. You cannot say it is 8 hours daylight and 16 hours darkness. The Bible did not mention something like this. It is lopsided. So even in the morning was the first day, even in the morning was the second day. So we realize that the earth must be straight. Secondly, why is the earth today 364 and a quarter day? The very fact is this, as I said, once the earth is tilted and it spins, it wobbles. You know, back in the 80s, I didn't know why the earth was 364 and a quarter day. Till I came to this revelation, I understand it. And I didn't know about the wobbling. But when I realized that when it was tilted, I remember one thing about the tops that I play. When I was young, I played tops. You know tops? You don't know what tops is? Spinning a top. Some of you, of course, today play Nintendos and Game Boys and Command and Conquer and whatever, so you probably don't know how to play a top. And the local word in Malaysia is gassing. We used to say, let's play gassing. And you know, when we play, when we try to, we spin and see who can spin their top and last the longest. You know, or the other time, of course, we try to smash each other's tops into pieces. So when you throw a top and it lands straight, perpendicular down, it spins for a long time. But when you spin it and it hits it and then it starts to turn around, it starts to, you know, spin on the side, it wobbles, and after it dies out very fast. Don't you know that? Huh? And that's what happens when the earth is on its axis tilted. When it spins, it wobbles. And that's why there is a drag. When it wobbles, it's a drag. It slows down the revolution around the sun. And you get 364 and a quarter day. 65 and a quarter day. So you have 5 and a quarter day extra. And it's interesting that some of the scientists are saying that, you know what? The earth is wobbling more now. Well, maybe. That's why they need atomic, what they call atomic timing, atomic time, whatever, to clock this and that and everything, how many years they must adjust the time, and all sorts of things, you know. Because this wobbling could be a bit faster, be a bit slower. Hey, God is not like this. God don't create things haphazardly. You know what I mean? God has to make it perfect. But where does this tilting of the earth come from? It came after the flood. You see. So now when we realize that when God created this heaven and earth, He put this deep here as a greenhouse effect. So no matter how, wherever you are, when the, you know, the sun shines on it, the earth's temperature is contained evenly. Do you know what a greenhouse is? For these of you may not know what a greenhouse is. This greenhouse is a grass house. Grass house where people put plant and, you know, it sort of kept every temperature even inside there. It doesn't go too hot, it goes too cold. And that's why in those days Adam and Eve, they were naked. They don't have to worry about the cold, you know. Is that alright? So today, of course, it's different. When it's cold, we all wear sheepskin. When it's hot, we probably took out everything. Or we have money, we put on aircon on a hot day and freeze ourselves to death. When it's cold, we throw all the windows open. I mean, when it's hot. I'm got all mixed up. I mean, when it's really cold, we don't want to put on the aircon, we put on the heater. Of course, Singapore, we don't use heater. But that's what they do in certain countries in the north. So what we have then, of course, that when God created this water is to keep all the temperature around it even. Alright. Now this was millions of years ago, or whatever number of years may be. The first thing that God would have to create when the gases coming in to form, you know, air is life. The Bible, the Spirit of God is always referred to as Ruach. Huh? In Hebrew, means air, spirit, moving things. And we need this air, this life, to live. I mean, if we don't have air, we die, isn't it? That's why the Spirit of God is life. And when Jesus told the disciple, receive you the Holy Spirit, and He breathed upon them, is that right? Receive ye the Spirit. So we need that life as spiritual man or woman. We need to continue breathing that life of God. And for those who are not born again, you need to be born again. And we are born again of His Word and of His Spirit. You understand that? So we need to receive His Holy Spirit to be born again. And when we are born into this world the first time as a baby, the first thing we must take in must be air. And your... Well, I don't know... I can't remember when I came out with my mom, whether I cried or not, or the doctor gave me a slap, pop. Huh? So sometimes baby don't cry, and baby, the doctor spank the back, and the baby start the engine, and the baby start to cry. Right? Otherwise, sometimes nowadays, of course, they use catheter to suck out the plug, and all this, like water that is stuck in the nose and mouth, and the baby will breathe. In those days, they just beat until the throat holding out. See? We need to have this air or the spirit to live. That's why carnal people were not born again. When you walk this earth, when they walk this earth, I mean, when before we were all Christian, we walked this earth as natural men, right? Right? We think that we are alive because we are breathing air. Huh? But our five senses, our natural five senses, do you know what we are breathing in? We are bringing in all the spirits of the world. Do you know what I'm talking about? We are breathing, we are taking in the spirit of the world. Our five senses. What do the young people today, you see in the newspaper, you know, lately, there are some of this program, Get Real. You know, people's opinion, this reality thing, and that sort of thing. And all this American Idol, the Singapore Idol, young people are screaming, and you see some of the people that are, you know, contestants, look at them, oh my. You know, what they wanted to do is, they don't realize, when you are exposed, when you are mixed with the same kind of people, or we say the birds of the same feather flock together, so to speak. Huh? But if you are not of that bird, or not of that same group, not of the same feather, so to speak, you just mix with them a little while, you get to be like them. Huh? I don't know whether you have seen some documentary or not, some put some dog among the chicken. You know, the dog behave like chicken. Yes? And you put some chicken with the dog, they do the same thing. So they will follow the dog. The majority will, the influence will be upon those that are minority. And so you are breathing in, you are actually taking, by the five senses, you are taking the spirit, you are breathing in the spirit of what's around it. You see the five senses and you begin to ape them. And while we Christian, we take in the life of the Spirit of God, right? In the Word and the Spirit, we rejoice, we worship, we speak the same thing according to the Word. Got it? So when God created this heaven and earth, the very first thing, as I said, He must bring about is oxygen, and basically it's a living thing. I mean, an element necessary for living creatures. And so to bring about that, you know, with all the different gas coming together to form whatever it is, one of the things that He used, and I believe that He used, will be the greens, the plants, the algae. And if we know what evolution says that we all came from a small creature all the way up to the monkey, and then from monkey we became man. The Bible is clear that God created the small things first until the last, where He created the higher classes of creatures. So, the very first thing I believe is that algae is an example. Or maybe chlorella, one-celled plant, very minute, very small. The spirulina, for example, all these other kind of low, very low form, one cell, then maybe a few other cells. These are the ones that multiply very fast and create a lot of oxygen in the air. Then you have all the other smaller grasses that grow, and then your trees, what God began to plant them all over the place. And this brought about oxygen. Over a period of time, with all the different gas, whatever it is, will be filtered out until the earth is stable enough, with enough kind of oxygen level, with the carbon dioxide and the nitrogens and so on. And you ever wonder why there is such a percentage of 21% oxygen? Of course, the world depletion of oxygen is now lower, huh? In many cities. And some people are breathing in very hot. And we people get stressed out very easily, getting headaches so often. We have to pop pills and things like that. Now they are selling oxygen water, selling oxygen capsule. And go to the, what they call a certain pub, they sell oxygen, put on a mask, put a dollar and breathe in for 5 minutes and feel healthy a bit. So they have all this, what the whole world is deprived of oxygen. What is that? Why is that 21% and there is 78%, I think, of nitrogen and the carbon dioxide, how many percent, and so on and so on, all these different gases. God knows how to put all those gases together for us to survive, for us to live. He made the world beautiful. He made it, the earth, to be inhabited. And so from that, you see here, in the chart that I draw, all of these one cell of the creatures, you know, sea creatures, or I mean the plant creature that put there, and then it gets a little bit bigger, and then the bugs. Oh, I love bugs. Look at the bugs. You have the worms, you have the cockroaches, and the snails, and whatever. You think those things are, what do you think God created worms for? If there are no worms on the earth will not be aerated. Do you know that? It helps to aerate the field, the farm. Do you know? Then all the sea bugs, they play a part. Huh? Don't get upset when you buy a cabbage, and then when you tear up the cabbage, then you see a worm in there. And don't throw the whole thing away. That shows that the cabbage is not full of pesticides. Buy vegetable, they have a lot of holes. I can tell you that. It's sweeter, no pesticide. Because if there's pesticide, the worm cannot survive. So look for those. If you see one with caterpillar in it, grab it. And thank the caterpillar for it. You see, but today we see people, the earth is so much destroyed that even vegetable has to be grown hydroponically under a shade or a shelter to keep away all those pests. You know, that's the way the world is now. And if you look at the condition of the world today, you cannot tell me this world is not coming to a close. It has to come to a close. We have genetically engineered or modified GM food. If people GM the food will GM you. And what will become of us? Because you're taking in all those things, you know, whatever God has put naturally, they're going change it, take up something and all this. That's why now they talk about, this cloning, this stem cell thing, or this altering. It's very scary when men have already become no longer like God, but they claim themselves as God, to be able to do all these things. Okay? So from there, all these bugs and bigger creatures become maybe the birds and all this, the plant all there. And then, of course, God created dinosaurs. And then we have the early man. And the angels, they were to have dominion over this earth. Remember, Adam and Eve wasn't existing. These are before. These are pre-Adamic eras. These are pre-Adamic era. Remember that. It is not in not Adamic era. We are living what we call Adamic era now. So, the angels were looking over the earth, all they have dominion over all this. The confrontations that I get when people do not like what I preach or I teach, all because there was some misunderstanding, men like Cohen Record. You know, he have a problem with somebody else, and then when somebody told him that somebody associated with Brother God, so he wanted to know who I am and so on, and somebody must have told him to go to the website, so he came upon my website and said, oh, pick up Ford. You know? And there are so many of these Americans, they have this kind of a spirit. And I have received at least almost 10 email letters now criticizing, many of them criticizing the wrong thing. They don't read properly. They skim through. And so much so that one Cohen Record will say, well, you see, I taught, he said that I teach that the angels came down to earth and fathered this early man. And you know, there's a strange thing, he'll talk things like this where I don't teach this thing, but that is what he assumed. And there are many people who still assume today. In fact, on one website I was on 2 days ago, I couldn't believe what I read. This preacher said that right now in the last day, those fallen angels have come upon this earth and are commingled with men, women, and produce rebellious people. I said, whoops. You think about it. He said, just as it was in the day before Noah, it is happening now. But he didn't give any burst. You think those things really exist? I mean, are true? When man comes with such kind of teaching and doctrine, and said, oh, the fallen angels are now commingled with women, and producing rebellious people, rebellious children. No. We know the Bible is clear. But the trouble is that theology, or theologians, have been propagating a certain doctrine for quite some time, and other theologians pick up the same, and they propagate it. Hebrew word for giants, Nephilim. And they said the Nephilim was a cost or product of the fallen angels commingled with women. And they will go to the book of Jude and pick up a verse. Let us go to the book of Jude, so they'll show you that. Jude chapter 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but loved their own habitation, have reserved in everlasting chain unto darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. So they pick up this verse and say that these angels are kept separate from those other bad angels, because these angels go beyond their position. Go beyond their state of position. By coming down to earth and commingle with woman and produce the giants. They pick up this verse like that. What make them assume the angel which kept not their first estate as if they were from angel, and say the angel says, I wanted to lie down with woman and produce my own children. What made them think that they are doing that, that's what they are thinking, or that's what they did? Your first asset is your position. Anytime you don't keep your habitation, your position, you go beyond what God do not allow you to go, you pay a price. There are many angels. We don't know how many million God created. And we do not know what all these different angels did in rebellion against God. Huh? Now you look at all these sudden the political issue. Now in Congo now you have a problem. This election is coming. You have seen the civil problem over in Somalia, Sudan in the past, over in Liberia, which is still on, over in Rwanda, Burundi. You take the Hutu and the Tutsi, for example. There are leaders that were want to project, or each tribe wanted to be the one in power. But out of this group of people that are rebellious or trying to fight or trying to project themselves to be the big, the one that should rule the country or whatever, there will always be a group of them that will be more fierce, that will stop me, will go beyond the bound and kill everybody else, kill anybody else. Well, the rest might not want to kill. You understand that? There are certain, well, we talk, for example, our government, for example, or any government, for example, there might be a politician within the government. They might go beyond the bound with certain things that is unlawful. And he pay a price for it. Huh? Why are certain politicians, oh, we take example like Iraq, you have Saddam Hussein, you have his cronies, right? Or even the day of the Second World War, in the years back then, Second World War, you look at Germany. Now you have the German soldiers, and then you have the SS, right? You know what that SS is? And you have this Gestapo, and you have this one group of SS. They are very fierce. Then you have people like Eichmann and Hitler, and a few others that ran into hiding. Now, why do the world government probably want to take them to trial? What about the rest of the SS? They are doing their job within their boundary. But there are those that are cruel, they will go beyond that. So what makes them think in theology? What makes them, the theologian, think that by reading these, they assume to the fact that this group of angels actually lay down with a woman, cohabit with woman, and produced the giants back then before the flood and after the flood? What made them think that? So today we have many giants on this earth. We have the basketball player from China. Poor guy. Maybe some people think. What are all those big guys in America, those 7 foot tall? Are they from fathered by the fallen angels? So let us not read into some of the words of scripture that are not supposed to be. Alright? Now let us go to Ezekiel 28 and be close with that. Ezekiel 28:13. So that we know that the beginning of the creation of heavens and the earth that were carried out by God back in tens of thousands of, maybe millions of years ago, we do have no idea how long it was, that at that time that the earth was not what it is today. Ezekiel 28:13. When God dealt with the prince or the king of Tyrus, God was dealing with, of course, Lucifer. In verse 10, he said, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Now, Eden is a word that means paradise, delight, God's delight. God's delight, Eden. So he said, thou hast been a garden, in Eden, the garden of God. So you know, people think that, oh, here it refers to the garden of Eden that Adam and Eve was in. No. Here he says, further down, every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and gold. So what we have is that this garden is not a garden of vegetation. It's not a garden of, well, like you say here, thou hast been Eden, the garden of God. Every precious mango tree are your covering. Every coconut tree are your rest tree. But what, he doesn't say anything. He talks about every precious stones. Now, I do not know whether you can picture it. Well, I don't know, perhaps you might have seen Superman. People, everybody want to feel like they can fly. You wish we could fly, huh? You know, in science fiction, or in fantasy lane, whether it be, story about a little girl who won a copper stone and with some creek, some lions, and Wizard of Oz. Oh, and Alice in Wonderland, whatever. You go to this fantasy land, you got all kinds of things. So in the Superman, you see that he also have all kinds of stones, quartz, green, yellow, blue, right? Now all those fantasy has part of it which lies in legends. Back in ancient days when things were described in the Bible the way it is. Now think for a moment now here. When God was dealing with this king of Tyrus and then was hitting out at the spirit behind the king, referring to Satan, and going back to this Eden, the garden of God, of precious stones. Think for one moment now. Go back in time and look at this earth. It was beautiful. But God has this garden that was specially created. And if you were to stand there and look around, can you see all those precious stones all around you? Is it impossible? Have you ever seen gold? Well, if you ever looked into you have seen gold, of course, in the rings and whatever. But if you have read about records or documentary, you have seen them or in books. You know those prospectors, when they go hunting for gold, sometimes they will go hunting for gold and in the mountainside they dig. And they might just turn around the mountainside and they see a whole layer of gold on this mountain cliff. You know, just one big, nice, shiny piece of gold on it. You know that? You have seen quartz and jade sticking out? Now, of course, the whole earth here has changed. But in those days, I can tell you this, all those stones were all sticking out on the side of mountains or hills. Is it impossible? And they are beautiful to look at. That's why people now, well, you have shops selling all those little crystals, crystal bowl, right? Or big egg shape that is cut into half. And you see all those, emerald or whatever that stuff inside there. Purple color and all this. Huh? People buy that, put in the house, you know. Oh, I'm the garden, like precious stones. And those things are actually on the earth in those days. And they shine, they sparkle in the sunlight and moonlight. When the God created, He created beautifully. And I believe that, you know, I mean, some of those of us who are home proud, house proud, whatever you call that, you want to make a house beautiful, clean everything, nice, right? You might even create a waterfall in the home, a little waterfall, just to hear the, you know, falling water. You see? So it's very natural for God to create all these things and beautify the earth. But yet again, not all the whole earth was an Eden. Only certain parts, that's why it's called a garden. A garden is only a certain area. And I wonder whether this garden will be the same place as the one that Adam had later on, when God recreated the heavens and the earth. Do you understand? And all these stones are there. And the angels, they were created to have dominion over the earth too. But remember one thing, the angels were put on the earth, not just have dominion, but they will be tested. You see, God has left them alone and see how they run this. Just like when men came later on, men has to be tested. And there are two creatures, as I said, God created. They were created in the image and likeness of God. And they were the angels, and they were men. Only men and angels were created in the image of God. Every one of us, we're having the angel and man created with a choice. We have the freedom to choose. We all have a choice. Right? Angel have a choice. But you know the animals do not have a choice. The animals, when you raise an animal, you teach the animal everything, huh? When you take your leash, every time after he knows that you take the leash, means let's go out for a walk. When you take a leash in the hand, he knows, start to wag his tail, he's going to jump, he'll follow, huh? Isn't it? You throw a piece of wood, fetch, you'll fetch. Of course, sometimes his stomach will look at you. He's waiting for some reward. But animals do have their own, they live in a certain environment. And when men keep them, there's a different thing. All of them, all the animals are out there free to roam around. Huh? Environment would dictate. But they do not know the right from wrong, choice, nothing. It's a matter of instinct. Men and angels are not. We are not born with instinct. We are not created with instinct. We are created image, knowledge, the image and likeness of God to where we can weigh out right and wrong. See? So the angel will put on this earth. And of course, after that, the fall came. The fall of Lucifer. And all the other angels that went with him. We're close here. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace. Bless our word, Lord. Help us to take one step at a time, Father, even as in learning. And I pray, Father, young people, the young ones will understand, Lord, as they learn, to know about the great big wonderful God that made this heaven and earth, and for a reason. We know, Father, the world today may be in the shape that is in. Corrupt, filthy, Lord, polluted in so many areas of the planet. And yet, Father, we know one of these days too that you will renew this whole earth and bring it to back to the state that was Eden before. I ask for your grace, Father, to bless us in our learning and to appreciate your word, Lord. We thank you once again in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.